Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, June the 26th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we continue to study your word and we see clearly the events that are taking place around us. We are grateful that you continue to protect us from harm and danger and you allow us to walk according to your will. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us today with understanding that we might go forward to do your will only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share a couple of articles with you. The first one, CNN's website, CNN Politics. It was published on June the 24th, 2020. The two writers of the article is Devin Cole and Ted Barrett. That's Devin Cole, C-O-L-E, and Ted Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T. The title of the article, Senate Confirms Trump's 200th Judicial Nominee, meaning, of course, he's placed 200 judges, 200 brand new judges, brand new far right new judges in the justice system. The location, again, is the CNN political website. The date of the publication is June the 24th, 2020. The title of the article is Senate Confirms Trump's 200th Judicial Nominee. Here's the article. Donald Trump's 200th judicial nominee was confirmed by the Republican-controlled Senate on Wednesday, marking a significant milestone in a presidency that has tilted the federal judiciary in a conservative direction for decades to come. With the confirmation of Judge Corey Wilson to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, Trump has successfully appointed 53 appeal court justices, 143 district court judges, two U.S. Court international trade judges, and two Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, according to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's office. By comparison, President Barack Obama successfully appointed 334 federal judges during his two terms, according to the U.S. courts. Former President George W. Bush successfully appointed 340 judges during his 8 years in office, while former President Bill Clinton put 387 judges on the bench during his two terms. So notice the comparison. He hasn't even finished his term and he's gotten 200 in there, which compares with his past presidents. Continuing. Trump, with the help of a determined McConnell and Senate GOP majority, has significantly reshaped the judiciary during his first term, and the 200th appointment millstone illustrates how lasting his legacy will be, as federal judges serve lifetime appointments, and many of Trump's picks have been young judges who can serve for many years. Judicial confirmations may be President Trump's most important legacy, said CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin. They will shape the nation's laws on abortion, LGBT rights, voting rights, and many other issues long after Trump leaves office. The 200 confirmations will also be a pertinent part of McConnell's legacy. The Kentucky Republican, who is up for re-election this year, played a role, a key role, in changing Senate rules to both speed up the process of confirming judicial nominees, eliminating the 60-vote threshold for minority filibusters. In the 54-48 vote on Wednesday, the Senate confirmed Wilson and filled the last currently available appeals court post. Democrats complained about Wilson's views on voting rights and other issues, but could not stop his confirmation since a simple majority vote is all that's required for approval. McConnell gloated about the accomplishment before the vote, saying, "Once we confirm Judge Wilson today, this Senate will have confirmed 200 of President Trump's nominees to lifetime appointments on the federal bench. And following number 200, when we depart this chamber today, there will not be a single circuit court vacancy anywhere in the nation for the first time in at least 40 years, McConnell said. Earlier this month, the Senate also voted to confirm Justice Walker, a young judge close to McConnell, to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, enraging Democrats who said he's not qualified. The D.C. Appeals Court is considered a breeding ground for future Supreme Court justices. and the court Kavanaugh served on before Trump appointed him to the Supreme Court. So that's the first article. Senate confirms Trump's 200th judicial nominee in just about 3 years, a little bit over 3 years, coming on to the fourth year. All right. The next article is found in the Quorum magazine website, and that was published on June the 23rd, 2020. Now, here's the title of this article. Republicans now control more state legislatures than any point in U.S. history. Now, I want you to understand that the Electoral College is based on the Senate, based on the states. So when you're electing a president, the president is not elected based on the popular vote, but he's elected based on the electoral vote. And the electoral vote is based on the states. So the electors are chosen by the states. So if a Republican Party or a Democratic Party or controls the local state legislatures or local state governments, then they have control over the electors of that state. I hope you understand what I'm saying. All right. This article is found in the Quorum website, published June the 23rd, 220, and the title of the article, Republicans Now Control More State Legislators Than Any Point in U.S. History. Here's the article. Last week, the Republican Party established a federal trifecta, and with wins in the Minnesota Senate, Kentucky House, and Iowa State, the GOP now controls both state legislative chambers in 32 states. According to the National Conference of State Legislators, Republicans now control more state legislators than at any point in U.S. history. Moreover, they have yet to beat out Democrats' 1975 record of complete control in 37 state legislatures. So it means that back in 1975, the Democrats controlled 37. Now they control 32 states, which means that it only leaves, what, approximately 18 states that could possibly be controlled by the Democrats? Continuing. While Republicans gained control of the Iowa State Senate and Minnesota Senate, they lost previously control of Nevada. The Democratic Party numerically gained control of the Washington State, however. State Senator Tim Sheldon will caucus with the Republican Party, giving Republicans control of the chamber. The Connecticut Senate is now split after all 36 state senators were up for re-election and Republicans were able to flip 3 seats. Yet Democrats will maintain majority vote and state trifecta status with Democrats Lieutenant Governor Nancy Wyman as state Senate's tiebreaker. Democratic legislators took majority in New Mexico House and Nevada Assembly, turning the Nevada state legislature completely blue. Additionally, while numerically Republicans hold majority in the Alaska House, coalition governing will give Democrats the vote majority. Republicans won a majority of Kentucky House for the first time since 1920, picking up 17 seats. In total, Republicans will control 4,170 state legislative seats and both chambers in 32 state legislatures. Meanwhile, Democrats will control 3,129 individual seats on both chambers in 13 legislatures. Maine and Colorado are the only state legislatures where there remains a split in control. While the Republican Party's control is significant, these numbers are not drastically different from the GOP's control during the 2016 state legislative session. So what we're seeing here is that the Republican Party has the majority control in the states. They know exactly what they're doing. They did this not by accident. They realized that if they wanted to control the agenda of the United States Congress and Senate and presidency, they would have to control the electoral power of each state. Here's another article found in the Military Times. This is the Times of the Army, the Military Times. And this article is published on October the 17th, 2018. The writer of the article is Leo Shane, S-H-A-N-E, Leo Shane the Third. And the title of the article Troops see rising political tension in the ranks. That would be the military ranks. The polls show. The title again. Troops see rising political tension in the ranks. The polls show. We asked our active duty readers about everything from Space Force to their support of the president and whether we should keep sending forces to Iraq. And here's what they said. Here's the article. More than three-fourths of troops believe the military has become more politically polarized in recent years, according to the results of a new Military Times poll of active duty service members. And that ideological divide is sure to be a major player in the voting booth next month. About 64% of active duty troops who took the anonymous survey said they're planning to cast a ballot in the congressional midterm elections in November, even though turnout among the general public in midterm elections usually fall below 50%. Only 7% of troops surveyed said they have no plans to vote this year. So now remember, that was back in 2016, 2018, that the article was written, and they were talking here about the midterm elections where the troops were planning to vote. Continuing. The midterm elections could significantly shift the balance of power in the nation's capital, where Republicans currently hold control of the House, Senate, and the White House. They are also the last benchmark in an increasingly fractured national political conversation, which has seen escalating rhetoric from both sides. What this shows is that the military as an institution is not immune to that, said Peter Feaver, a former advisor to former President George W. Bush and a political science professor at Duke University who has authored several books on military culture. It's not an oasis or an island. Now notice this. And because of the value of the military as one of the few remaining apolitical institutions in America, there are concerns that the military may be drawn into these partisan fights, he says. Only 4% of the troops surveyed believe the military has become less politicized in recent years. The rest of them believe that it has. So who to vote for? National polling suggests that Democrats have a strong possibility of gaining control of the House and possibly even the Senate, moves that would have sweeping ramifications for President Donald Trump's policy and political priorities. Troops see that possibility as well. Nearly 74% of service members in the poll say they think the election would have a noticeable impact on the military, with 28% of those calling it a significant effect. Among officers, that number is even higher. 89% of them see the election as influential of the armed forces. But who troops will vote for is less clear. Almost half of those who responded to the poll said they do not affiliate with any major political party, continuing to trend in Military Times polls from recent years away from close ties to either Republicans or Democrats. Despite that, roughly 45% of troops polled said they intend to back Republican candidates, even though less than a third say they are registered with the party. Similarly, 28% say they plan to vote Democrats in the upcoming contest, even though only one-fifth consider themselves members of that party. Exit polls in the 2016 presidential election saw military members and veterans vote nearly 2-1 in favor of Republican candidates. The Military Times poll doesn't show as big a disparity with troops this election cycle, but that could shift given that more than 26% say they don't plan to support either party. Troops surveyed had a 44% favorable view of Trump against a 43% unfavorable view. Women, minorities, and officers had significantly lower opinions of his tenure, and men and enlisted service members offered more support. The survey showed broader approval of Trump's handling of military issues. 60% say that the military is in better shape now than when Barack Obama was in office. But most think the military as a whole has weakened during their careers. Almost 52% of troops surveyed said military readiness had weakened since their enlistment, and 12% of the total characterized it as declining significantly. Less than one-third believe readiness is better today than when they joined their services. Between September the 20th and October the 2nd, Military Times, in collaboration with the Institute of Veterans and Military Families in Syracuse University, conducted a voluntary confidential online survey of U.S. service members. The survey included 19 questions on service members' opinions related to the current political climate, politically, national, and security in the United States. The survey received 829 responses from active duty troops. These troops used standard methodology to estimate the weights for each individual observation of their survey sample. The surveyed audience was 89% male and 11% female, and had an average age of about 31 years old. The respondents identified themselves as 76% white, 13% Hispanic, and 9% African American, 5% Asian, and 6% other ethnicities. Respondents were able to select more than one race. And so notice now that they have been doing the survey in the military also, and they've been discovering that the military, the predominant position of the military, supports also the Republican Party. The last article that we will take a quick look at today is found in the Market Watch website. And this one was published on June the 7th, 2020. The writer of the article is Sean Langlois. Let me spell that last name for you. It's L-A-N-G-L-O-I-S. It was published on June the 7th, 2020. And the title of the article is Republicans and Democrats Agree. America is Out of Control. The title again, Republicans and Democrats Agree. America is out of control. Here's the article. We can't seem to agree on much of anything these days, but the new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll has apparently found some common ground. Out of control. That's America in 2020. That's Democratic pollster Jeff Howitz talking about the survey in which 8 out of 10 voters said they believe things are out of control in the United States. Republican pollster Bill McDorough and his GOP colleague at Public Opinion Strategies discussed this matter after they conducted the survey. The majority of people surveyed for the poll, which was conducted between May the 28th and June the 2nd, are worried about the coronavirus, the economy, and the leadership in the White House. Breaking it down by party, 92% of Democrats and 78% of independents and even 66% of Republicans are in the camp that think that things are spiraling out of control. Separately, 46% of respondents said they see the economy as poor, the highest percentage holding that view since September of 2012, NBC noted, while 31% described it as fear. Of note, this was before the big jobs number released on Friday. As for the upcoming election, the recent unrest doesn't seem to be impacting President Trump all that much, according to this poll. His approval rating stood at about 40%, down 1% point from April. His 7-point national deficit against Joe Biden, 42-49, stayed the same. These are remarkable findings that speak to the power of our partisan silos, McMurgurf said. So that last article in Market Watch says that the United States is out of control, that it is completely divided, that there is half and half, one part Republican, the other part Democratic. It's rather interesting as you read these articles when you begin to realize that what is coming down the pike is a serious battle. And you and I need to understand that it is serious. The first article we read from CNN says that the Senate confirmed Trump's 200th judicial nominee. And this is not by accident. They've been planning this for a while. And these judicial nominees are all far-right conservatives. And they have an agenda. Also, the second article we read says that the Republicans now control more state legislatures than any point in history. And that is not accidental, because they have plans for the future. You and I have an understanding of what those plans are, because God's word has told us in advance what they will be. And you and I need to be ready for the time to come, so that our lives might be rooted and grounded in truth, and that we will be willing to stand with our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done, for how you continue to warn us day by day. We ask that you will continue to protect us and to lead us in the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This has been your daily briefing, June the 26th, 2020.